Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and welcome to the weekend edition of the show. Well, here's a question for you. What would it take for you to make a life change? I mean, one that's sustainable, that you stick with. Well, my guest today is Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness expert, and she joins me to celebrate her book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. And this isn't just about fitness. It's about wholeness. It's about healing. It's about really living out what God has for you so you can bring your best self to all of the circumstances in your life. Before we get to that conversation, we've got a few quick announcements. Winter Gap campaign starts on Tuesday, so will you be prayerfully considering how God would maybe use you to help us wrap up and finish our year strong. Also want you to know that the great giveaway is coming up. We do this on Live the Promise, and super excited about it. We do it every year. We just hope and pray to mobilize thousands of you, and I'm in there too. I'm actually really praying about what would be my random act of kindness, because here's the thing. I'm asking you to do a random act of kindness that's sort of out of the box for you, that's out of your comfort zone, not something that's even that easy for you to do, but something that God wants you to do. I'm asking you to engage with that now. Pray about it now, because we've got it coming up Thursday, December 21st. We'll dedicate the whole show. The phone lines will be open, kind of calling you back from the mission field for you to share how God worked, what he did. Share your stories. You can call anonymously. You can just give your first name. This isn't about bragging. This isn't even about sharing your good deeds so that others would be admire you, as Scripture says for us not to do that. It really is about sharing your experience so that others would be inspired. We hear from listeners every year who write in and call in and say they had to pull over because they're crying, because they're so inspired by the calls that came in from you who stepped out of your comfort zone and remembered somebody in need this holiday season. So are you with me? Will you join me? I really pray that you will. Engage in that random act of kindness. Maybe write down a few details so you remember. You can, if you'd prefer to write it in by email, do it that, and you can email me as soon as you're ready, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You can call it in on our faith line, or you can call on the live show Thursday, December 21st. Either way, I hope you'll engage. It'll be worth it. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a leading certified fitness professional with more than 20 years of experience. She's passionately dedicated to serving the Lord and is the founder of Revelation Wellness, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole lives in Christ. Elisa lives in Phoenix with her husband, Simon, and two children, Jack and Sophia. What amazing names they are. Elisa, welcome to the program.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, just hearing my kids' names, it melts my heart.
Oh, thank you. Those are great, great names. Oh, wow, I love that.
Thank you.
So, Elisa, we love to start every conversation every day talking Scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been hanging around these days that you can share with us.
You know what? Luke 8:50 is one that hangs around my life right now a lot. It's when Jesus says to the family when the daughter is being resurrected, and he says, do not, you know, a little girl is dying and she's coming back, giving her life again. He says, do not be afraid, only believe, she will be well. Like, I just feel like those are the three words. Don't fear. Fear is something that definitely would say has been something I overcome in my life daily at times. And then the belief that God, I am only here as a living testimony to taking faith steps with God, that he grabbed me by the hand when I was a child in fear. And it's through that belief that I've been well. I'm being made well. I'm not there. Won't be until Jesus face to face. But, man, is he so faithful. It just says, just believe.
Yeah.
It will be well.
I'm so with you, Lisa. And that's the same kind of journey I've had as well, and he has been so faithful. Love to know a little bit about your backstory and your faith journey and even your fitness journey, because I know they kind of intermingle a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my backstory, I even shared a little bit in the book. God knew that he knows the times and places and dates that people are to be born and on the earth. I was born in 1971, and in 1985, I took my first aerobics class, and I was wrecked by it. I loved everything about it. I don't know. I was still a distant blur memory. I just loved everything at that time, and God really knew I needed an outlet. I needed something like that. I had played organized sports my whole life. I would definitely say I was a tomboy, but right about that time when organized group fitness was taking shape and Jane Fonda was doing her thing, I took my first class. I was invited by a friend, and her mom drove us there, dropped us off, and I didn't know what to expect. But all I know is at the end of that class, I laid on the ground in the cool-down moment, and I remember having this feeling in my heart of whatever just happened, whatever that lady just did, I'm gonna learn how to do that, which I don't even know why I would think, one, I could learn to do it. And it's not like it wasn't like a big dream or aspiration. I just had this knowing that I was going to learn to do that. And so, I just kind of grew up fitness-wise in the 80s. You know, everything was taking off, and I became fitness crazy. It was an outlet. My body responded to it very well. So then I started to get attention for it. And as a young girl in a home that was pretty broken and busted up at the time, it was a life, really felt like a life-saving time to at least have the fitness. And I went through my life doing it, just really committed to it. I got into personal training, just really loved it. It was a passion of mine, but it definitely became an idol by my early 20s. I didn't know that then, but I was so consumed with it. And I think that's what a good thing is always it's always a good thing until it becomes our God thing. And I didn't know it was at the time, but I definitely was the thing I was known for. It gave me attention. I became a fitness competitor, did some of those fitness shows. I absolutely hated it, but the only reason I did it was because I got recognition for it. I did not like any part of having to be at the gym for endless hours, cutting carbs and not being able to, eat certain things for a while. I knew something inside of me knew it wasn't good. And actually, and I share that in the book too, there was a moment as I walked off stage one time, I did not get first place. I think I got third. And I as soon as I walked off stage, I saw a girl kneeling down by a cooler. And she was like in a praying position with the ice cooler open, and she was shoving food in her mouth.
Wow.
And I was hungry too. And I remember thinking, that's going to be me. Like that looked, it looked animalistic. It didn't have any dignity. And I thought that was the last show I did. I was afraid I was going to have an eating disorder. I knew something. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit was holding me back. So,
I'm going to jump in there, at least if you don't mind. I mean, it's just so uncanny because in 85 is when I took my first fitness class, and exactly the same thing happened to me. And I thought, I was made for this. I know it. And, interesting. But I had people around me, and I read in your book where someone said, you have the physique for competition. And someone had told me the same thing. And yet I looked around at people depriving their bodies of fat and carbs and getting down to single-digit body fat. And they turned, their personalities changed even. Before we get even into how you came to faith, because I'm so curious and I would love for our listeners to know, talk about what actually that does, what happens to your body when you get to such a radical place of cutting to get, where you have no body fat really anymore so that you can be ripped for these competitions.
So true. It's so destructive. It's so crazy. And just on a science level, there's anabolic and there's catabolic. It's a system of our body. Our body is either building, which is anabolic, is to build, or catabolic, which is to destruct. And when you get to that, we all have a set point. We do have a place that's a healthy and whole place. That's why I'm not a big believer in numbers. Even BMIs can be kind of weird because some people just have denser bones and a bigger frame. But there's a mark where it goes over this healthy place of having a good recovery heart rate, having good cardiovascular, and we want to build more muscle and decrease fat. We really start messing with God's design in a way that the body is smart. It will do whatever it needs to do to survive. And when we get to that place of depriving ourselves of carbohydrates, because you have to deprive yourself of the carbohydrates in order to get the water out, which makes you the lean cut. You get rated by, how the striations and the formations of your muscles. You literally, it just bewilders me that I walked on stage in high heels and asked people to tell me how good I am. Like, what? But yeah, it really does destroy it. It plays tricks on the metabolism. It turns to, you'll start, if you don't give yourself carbohydrates, you'll start using protein as a carbohydrate and a fat. It puts our body in ketosis. It's really hard on the liver. And the body is meanwhile going, okay, I'll work for you. Okay, our body's gracious to us, but at some point it reaches a bottom where it does, it's like climbing out of a pit a little bit. So as after every show, when I would go and eat, just normal eating, of course I was starving, so I probably ate more than I should have. The next day I would wake up almost, and I'm a 5'1" framed gal. The next day I would wake up with about 8 to 10 pounds of water weight on, I remember one morning I woke up because the pressure on my ring finger was hurting me because I had gained that much water overnight, but my body was saying, thank you, I've needed some water for a while. So, it's quite destructive. Doesn't mean it can't be undone, but a lot of people, when you get into that weird dysmorphia of your head, you know, you've seen yourself. The hard part is when you see yourself cut that way one day, you know, it looks a certain way. It gives you the look, I guess, you thought you were going for, but it's unsustainable. All these Biggest Loser shows, I mean, I'm glad to see that's off the air now, but those final reveal shows where people get up there, and I mean, you can tell there's an unhealthy weight. You could tell they are dying for a drink.
Yeah, you're not meant to lose weight that fast, right?
Oh, yeah. No, or be that thin. No one needs to be that thin. You can't optimize. Your brain needs fat. You need carbohydrates to function. The glucose needs to be there in order to have good thoughts and good reasoning. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a pit I had to get out of.
Well, Elisa, we have to pause. By God's grace, indeed. I mean, even that he would tilt your chin up to down in that case to see that person over the cooler gorging on food. I mean, God was watching out for you and leading you even when you weren't aware. When we come back, a fitness professional, Lisa Keaton, will just share how she came to faith. And we're going to unpack her book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. A deep connection, as you know, if you listen often enough, believe this so strongly, the mind-body-spirit connection. And we'll just unpack the content of this great book and just talk about what God has for you. More with Elisa Keaton when we return. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lisa Keaton. She's a fitness professional. She's written the book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. And I totally took her on a sidetrack because I wanted to, as curious about just your bodybuilding days, and so appreciate your honesty and even conviction of what God showed you before you even actually knew him, if I remember right? So you weren't actually in a place of faith yet. So here you're a fitness professional, and you just were gifted at it, and it'd be kind of came a thing for you, got into bodybuilding and realized how destructive it was to your health. Take us from there and how you came to faith.
Yeah, so I just continued to be the thing. I thought what I did was who I was, so I continued to do that. And then I got married, was in the fitness world, just growing my career, personal training and doing all very, very successful. And I moved to California with my husband, and we were in a new place in a new town, didn't know anybody. But my body definitely was a billboard of like, hey, you're a fitness trainer or however. But I was starting to build on the outside again in a new environment away from home, but building my clientele and doing, you know, succeeding successfully, I guess you could say. But inside in my heart, in my marriage, I really wanted to be loved. My husband couldn't love me. It never felt like it was enough. I thought marriage would fulfill me. It wasn't. Everyone, you know, was letting me down. There was just still this, like, what's wrong with me? Now, again, I would say I became a Christian at 13. I knew of Jesus at 13, but he went in the back seat. He was just way in the back seat. And it was around this time of being newly married in a new city, doing the thing I love, that I felt really disconnected. I knew I needed to go to church. I knew I needed something more. And so I did. I finally went to church. My husband at that time was not a believer. I went by myself, and I started to hear the gospel for the first time. It spoke right to my heart. Like, I was in need. I knew that there was something aching inside of me that my husband could not fill, that my body would not fill, that money would not fill. It's just that ache, that hunger, that thirst. And I was ready. I heard it. I received the message. I loved it. I became very intrigued with Jesus and my Christian faith. But I kind of, again, tucked it over there and went and did my fitness thing at the gym. And then I would do my Jesus thing and do my fitness thing. They felt kind of in opposite places. But then what happened, it's crazy, Susie, is that once your mind is renewed, right, you start hearing the gospel, you start seeing it, and God just removes scales. And I was able to start to see my clients, my people that I loved, that I enjoyed being with. I started to see beyond just the desire to lose weight. I can help people lose weight. I could get people the goals. It's not that hard. Weight loss is not hard. It's still true. Yes, calories in, calories out, count it, whatever. But I always noticed two things would happen. One, the client would become super controlled and obsessed and would get the goal. Like, they could get the goal, but they almost became so obsessive with it that they were only one track. One thing was on their mind all the time. And they also became more obsessive of, like, hey, can I lose this little love handle here? And can we work on this part of my butt? And I'm like, oh, goodness, you know, it's not good enough. Like, it just never felt good enough. They were on a track of an obsessive nature. Or they would fall off the wagon. Something would happen. They would just lose the momentum. They would, you know, I'd always felt bad because they'd bought all these packages of, you know, training, and they wouldn't show up. And it seemed, at least I was aware of those two extremes. Very few of my clients would come in to say, hey, you know, I just want to feel better. You know who did? The senior population. They
really?
Were amazing. They're just happy to hang out and talk with you and move their bodies. They're so wise. They've got it. But in that middle place of the 20s to the 40s, the 50s, you know, high power executives, it was just, and I began to see, you know what, this is more than fitness. They are aching too. They're hungry for the same thing. They want to know they're enough. They want to feel safe. They want to feel in control. This is a love issue. So I started to see it. It was hard to just train the body anymore without training their souls too. But then it's also a faith issue as well. So I stopped. It was just, God just kind of had me at a stalemate. Like, I couldn't go any further. I could, but I now knew. And he wrestled me into the ground for a while because I didn't want to do it. I was a reluctant disciple for a while because I really thought people are going to think I'm crazy. If I bring Jesus into this, they are going to think I'm crazy. And I kind of kicked and screamed for a while, but eventually God really, I remember at one point he kept waking me at night. Like, I just kept, this vision kept on my mind because I know how to write programs. I know how to help people, but I hadn't really talked about the heart issues, really the faith issues, the worship issue. And he kept waking me at night, and finally I heard him say, Lisa, you do not have to do this. I'm not forcing you, you know, but I am going to do this.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, okay. So in other words, the train's going to leave the station. You can get on. I'll be back around again. But if you want to go, we're going to go now. And I think he just knew how to speak to my adventure heart. Like, okay, I'm going. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll go. And it was a one step at a time walk with him. I began to write this book, which was literally about 10 years, well, maybe 12 years in the making. Just beginning to look at scripture, look at the body, look at the spiritual side, the emotional side, the relationship side, because it really is about relationship with God and relationship with creation, creator God to creation. And he just started giving me the vision for that. I started writing, started helping people. But, you know, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, it was not too cool. I mean, I like to say there's been faith and fitness movements in the past, and I'm so grateful for them. I feel like they planted seeds. But I don't think that they went to the depth of the brokenness of the heart, that we are broken, that we're really wounded, and that healing and wellness is for all. This is a gospel message, our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's like you said, it's integrated. You can't separate one from the other. So that means the body is part of this territory of God. And God really just gave me the desire to go, I want you to come in and join the conversation. You know, there's a lot of talk about our renewing of our mind. There's a lot about our heart. But will you also come in and join the conversation with the body? That I was only one person and needed to train up other trainers, a disciple, make disciples, really. Did Revelation Wellness, the nonprofit, was born to train up people, train to teach the student or train the leader. That's really what we want to do. Mm. So that's kind of the impetus.
Wow, that wow, what an amazing journey, and God's gentle, provoking.
Yes,
you know, the gentle way.
Gentle and persistent.
Yes, that's the
word. He tells us to persevere. He is a persevering God himself.
Indeed, indeed. We've got about 2.5 minutes to our bottom of the hour break. But when you think of the obsession and even condemnation women, so often we burden ourselves with obsession over our flaws and condemnation over our flaws and the unnecessary suffering I even think we bring upon ourselves because of that. I would love to know, given that just mindset, what you would say to the woman listening today who's totally obsessed with her flaws.
Well, she's looking to what's seen. And 2 Corinthians 4:16, I would say go to it and go to it now and read it and write it over and over, that we look to the things that are unseen. The seen things are temporary. That's why my senior citizens, they were the best because they realized, hey, this body, it's going to change. You know what? Permission to change. I like to say that to her. Permission to change. Permission to stretch your body to have a baby. Permission. Permission to be a little under the weather or in a season. But the Holy Spirit and God will not leave us there. Wellness is not a state of what's under my feet on a scale. It is what is going on in my heart and my mind. What do I dream and desire? Am I listening to the voice of truth, the voice of love? Or am I allowing this outside circumstances, what I see in the mirror, what I see on the scale, or what size my pants are, to dictate my reality, you know, or my truth? I always say things can be real. Like if you're 100, if you're 400 pounds, okay, that's real. That, right? Yeah, the scale gives me the reality of gravity, my weight to gravity. But that's not what's true. What's true is that you are a child of God. And it's funny, just as you said, my son, Jack, and Sophia at the hour, at the beginning you introduced me, my heart leapt a little bit. When I hear their names, my heart leaps. And I feel like that God is leaping over your heart right now. Yeah. And there's a love story to be told to you. And it'll be long, and it'll be persevering. It won't be a quick fix. It won't be here, you know, today or tomorrow. It's not a quick fix infomercial. This is about your walk with him, no matter what size, what shape you are. That's a ploy of the enemy to get you looking at the things that are seen rather than what is unseen. Your heart,
wow.
Your mind, your soul.
Lisa, I just love that God has given you the platform he has. As someone who worked in the industry for so many years, you have a depth and a balance to you that I've not heard before. So I'm so grateful. Talking to Lisa Keaton, title of her book is The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. Would love to get a copy. It's an 8-week journey. It's a workbook. It's amazing. So much good information. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I've received a few emails, but some without mailing addresses. Remember that, okay? Back in a minute.
Hallelujah, I'm safe in my Father's arms, safe in my Father's arms, oh, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to fitness professional Elisa Keaton, and she's written an amazing book. It's called The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It is a mind, body, spirit book, really the whole thing. And I just love, Elisa, I love your heart. I love what God is giving you. We've got a question from a listener, and she says, I've been following a low-carb 20 per day but high-fat. My lipid panel has never been so good. Dr. William Davis, a cardiologist, wrote a book called Wheat Belly, which I read. He says ketosis is not harmful. You're saying it is good? I'm not sure if I understand this. I cannot go back to eating a low-fat, high-carb diet. So many contradictions make me want to eat some chips right now. Does that make sense? Did you understand that?
Yeah. What's her name?
Her name is Deborah.
Okay, Deborah. Yeah, such a great question. Yeah, Deborah, here's the thing. I know we have to be really careful with blanket statements. That tends to be what we do when we talk about food, or especially food, but even fitness too. There is no one size fits all in how to eat. And to be honest, some people will do well in a lower carb place. Now, when I talked about ketosis, I was on a no carb. Like, that is not good. A no-carb place is not, your body needs carbohydrates. So if you're working with a medical professional and they're kind of going, you know, this is what you're needing right now. And I will also say, Deborah, it could change in the future for you. So permission to change. If right now at that 20% carb, you feel like you have the energy, you have the mental clarity, it's working for you, praise God, hallelujah. But I would also say, just pay attention to that. There may come a time, you know, I've known many vegans in my life, people that cut out meat completely, and they felt tremendously great. And, well, first they went through a little bit of withdrawal, which we all tend to do, but then they felt really good. I personally have tried it. I do good on meat. I my body, my genetic line, my Mexican Latina descent does well with meat. But I know that people that have cut it out, they get adapted to it, they feel better, but then over a certain amount of time or years, they start to run low on energy, and they realize, you know what, I think I need the meat back. So I'm not saying ketosis happens when there's no carbohydrate, although there is an element of any time you go low carb, you're actually using some of that ketosis in your body. But it comes down to, is your liver still functioning well, the kidneys still processing well, under the medical supervision of a doctor, that you know that this is putting you in a well place, you feel well, you're sleeping well, you have good energy. Well, I think trust the Lord for the next step, but it could change. I think we just have to be aware, like, that could change.
You know, stress factors, you think of all the elements to a person's life, and you're right.
Hormones,
one size, yes.
Aging, yep.
And so, the one size fits all just absolutely doesn't work. It doesn't even work for one person, as you say, because seasons come and go. I love this. You said desperation and disgust are powerful motivators for change, but they do not lead to lasting results and increasing joy. I love that. Say more if you would.
Amen. Yeah. They're good starters. You know, even desperation. You see a lot of people in the Bible that come to Jesus that are healed because they're desperate. And that's, yes. It's a good start, but it's not where God would have us to stay. I'm desperate for him in a humility place, but his joy is my strength. His joy is the long-lasting effect that I have encountered him. He's with me, Emmanuel with me. The joy of the Lord is the strength. That type of joy, you know, the word grace, for the word joy, when it's used in James about to count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter many trials, you break that word down to the root word, and it comes from the same word, it's kairo, the same word for grace, and it means to be well and thrive. When we know that we have the grace of God on our side, and grace is not permission to live by the flesh, it is the enabling power to live according to the Spirit. Grace rises up, it lifts our chin, it is a strong and kind and firm love. And that type of being well and thriving, that's a motivator for grace. Kids continues to say, I'm not done with you yet. There's a new story. There's a new day today. Grace continues to put me on my feet. But desperation and disgust, it's a starting point. Jesus meets us in our desperation. He meets us in our disgust. None of it is shameful for him, but he wants to be the lifter of our head. Absolutely.
I want to make sure I wrote this down right. Grace is not permission to live by the flesh. It's empowerment to live by the Spirit. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Amen.
Such
a
good word.
When you think about it, you know, grace is one of those things we throw around in the church. If we make a mistake or something, grace to you. And I say, yes, grace to you for sure. But I feel like it's more about mercy, because mercy is not giving somebody what they deserve. Grace is giving somebody what they need, right? Like, the Lord did not give me what I deserve. I deserve separation from him. I deserve condemnation. I've done wrong against him and wrong against myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but he knew I needed grace. I needed love. I needed to know who I am and what I'm living for. And so he did that. Grace does that for me. And then that, it calls me higher. Grace says, empowers me to do whatever it is, to say, you know, the other thing is freedom. That's another word. I feel like we throw that one around a lot. Freedom, freedom. Even in the secular world, everybody wants their freedom, their rights to do whatever they want to do. And real freedom is the permission, the right to say no as much as it is to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom is not yes to everything. There is no freedom unless there is a no to things as well.
That's indeed. Freedom. Amen. We've had Dr. Michael Brown on the program a number of times, and he talked about his book, something about breaking the stronghold of food. But what he did say, he said, God is not obligated to give you good health if you continue to trash your health. And I thought, well, you know, because Scripture says he will not be mocked. You know, basically what you sow is what you grow. So let's talk for a moment not only about that, but how beating yourself up and condemning yourself, as you say, this disgust, you know, I mean, talking down to yourself to kick your rear end into gear will only last for so long. And so on one hand, there are consequences, and they will take place if we continue to neglect our bodies. But two, this is an invitation to something so much more than we can even imagine. So say more about that, if you would.
Yeah. First of all, I always feel it needs to be said, God is not going to love us more for losing weight, nor is he going to love us less for gaining weight.
Mm.
So this is not a leveraging kind of thing. This is definitely about God's love, though. The desperation and the disgust, the thing I always tell, and if we teach this to all our instructors in training and inside this community, whenever things come up out of us that aren't, don't feel good, you know, that feel I have a negative thought, or I have a gluttonous desire, or I'm really kind of self-focused in any way, we're not to be ashamed there. Those things are in us, and I think God is excited to show us what's in us, to allow it to come up. So that's why James can say, hey, count it all joy when you suffer, because whatever comes up out of you, God will heal that. God wants to show you your heart. Like I said, he's looking to what is unseen, what is going on in us. What happens is the enemy comes along to say, see, I told you, look at how you're still disgusting. See how you think bad thought. He accuses us in our mad, sad, or feeling bad or scared places. God's not afraid of those places. Honestly, that's what I feel like the whole mission that God has me on is this healing place for people in their soul. The places where they have been devastated, hurt, violated, done things wrong, and have had done wrong things done to them, and it's been against their body in some way. And until that is truly healed at the deepest of places by his love, the love, if we knew how loved we are, I said to my publishing house, you know, you do realize if people just knew how loved they are by God, if they just realized how loved they are, there would cease to be any self-help books.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be no reason
self-help
anymore.
Right.
We would have books filled of learning great things and expanding, you know, great knowledge to learn. I love books. But self-help books, like I kind of, I hope my book's not necessary. I hope it gets to a place where people, especially the church, like, come on. God so loved the world, So whenever the message of shame or condemnation or regret or disappointment, don't ignore it. Don't try to disappear from it or disconnect from it. Stay integrated to it and take it to the Lord, who's big enough to handle our shame. He knows it's there, but do we know it's there? And then do we know how to destroy and demolish the stronghold? Not just take the thought captive, but also put it on trial to destroy and demolish it so that truth can come in. And it's when we live in truth that we have freedom. The freedom to say yes, the freedom to say no, the freedom to live, the size, the weight, the health that you were designed to live.
You know, my pastor for years said whenever that stuff starts to surface, he said it's really like Jesus is reaching in your soul, pulling it out, saying, you see this? I'm about to deliver you from this. But if we don't believe that, we will do whatever we can to shove it down, to numb out, and then we turn to comforts that actually destroy our health. But if we could say, I'm in a safe place with God. And when this stuff comes up, it's because he's letting me see it, because he saw it all along and he wants to set me free. And Lord, what might you fill that vacancy with? If we could start to get a vision like that, I think we would be more bold and courageous with going, Lord, have your way in me, you know?
Amen. A full surrender. We'd be a surrendered church. I got nothing on you, Lord. All my weapons are down. Hands up, whatever. I surrender. Go ahead. Mm. Search me.
Well, we got a break coming up in a few minutes, but I'd love to know, as you took this leap of faith, because you said for a while your life ran parallel paths. Your faith life was over here, your fitness life over here, and Jesus was asking you to integrate these, and you were like, yeah, I'll get to that. And he finally said, I'm going to do this, so I'd love for you to be with me. I mean, what's been the response as you've brought these together? I'd love to know.
Oh, Susie, like I said, this is 7 years in the ministry, 7 years with Revelation Wellness, 10 years in ministry. Oh, my goodness. The first, probably the first 5 to 6 felt very lonely and desolate. Honestly, I felt like John the Baptist out in the desert, like the crazy one, saying, prepare the way, prepare the way, he's coming. Because not many people got it originally. I think people had seen it before, and it was kind of, for lack of a better, a little cheesy, like a little surface, you know, like happy painted face, Christian aerobic. And I want to say I'm so grateful for those that have gone before me. But like I said, I felt like this depth of healing, like way deep down into the maybe not so pretty places, was actually what God was getting after. So I really began to go, okay, I see that place, and I could no longer ignore, you know, it's going to be painful for a while as people don't get it. So it took a while. Nobody really wanted to fully get on board. I said my first training class when I trained instructors, although my first class where I took the book kind of curriculum at that time and dumped it into the waters of my church and got a little group together, they did respond. I remember the group kind of saying, you've got something here, like this, there's something here, so keep going. But then when I went on a more public level of like, okay, I think I need to train up other people in this and I need help, basically, it was quiet for a while. I have to say, it wasn't like a smash home run hit. It took a while. And I know the Lord was patient to do it that way, because there was stuff that still needed to be worked out of me, kind of an orphan spirit in a way, too, of like, you know, I think it's always important to know your childhood wounds or your childhood lie. And for me, it's you're alone and you have a God, a father that doesn't provide. He makes promises, but he doesn't keep them. So in that quiet place for the first 4 or 5 years, you know, people were responding. It just felt like a slow, slow. But it was that, it needed to be that slow. God needed me to move slow.
That's his protective nature for you, you know? I see that
absolutely.
So often. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's so protective of you, and he's not going to send you out until he's got you ready. And but what a beautiful thing to see what he's doing now. So when we come back, I hope we can squeeze these three things in. I want you to talk a little bit about your work at the Dream Center. We've had Caroline and Matthew Barnett on several times each, so I love that you're working with them. But also, I want you to describe what gluttony is and its impact, and what fasting is and its impact. So those will be our three points that we tackle on the other side. We've got several copies of Elisa Keaton's book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. Email if you'd like in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I think this is a balanced, powerful book. Don't forget your mailing address, too, okay? Love to get your name in the drawing. We'll be back in a minute. What a great conversation having today with fitness professional Elisa Keaton. She's an amazing woman of God, and she's integrating mind, body, spirit, just because Jesus has done that and just wants to see people healed in the soul. And it was, you said such a good thing before the break, Elisa, that if we could come into the knowledge of the love of God, if we could take Jesus up on his promise and his declaration of his love for us, there'd be no need for self-help books, because it would heal everything in our souls. And it's been such a good conversation. We just got a few minutes left, about 10 minutes left or so. Say a word, if you would, about your work at the Dream Center.
Yeah, the Dream Center, it was one of the heartbeats of this ministry. That actually, one of the reasons I said yes to the Lord was that if he would allow me, like, God, it's got to go beyond just getting people in shape. Like, it's got to go beyond just getting people healthy for their own selves. It has to go out into the world. I will say yes if my yes will kick physical and spiritual poverty in the teeth. I remember saying those words to him. If you can kick it in the teeth for me, I'll say yes. And he was like, absolutely. So part of our story, part of our ministry mission is to love others. Our mission is love God, get healthy, be whole, and love others. That's
love
the
that.
Fullest extension of my health. I love what you're talking about, your share event coming up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, yes, I want to come. But that whole expression of how do I love others, that's the ultimate message of my life, and the testimony and the witness of my life is to go out and love others. But not from a place of duty, but out of a delight.
Yes.
We got involved with the Dream Center actually probably right at the beginning when we started the ministry. I was looking for places that we could just, my even local community here as Revelation Wellness community here, because we have instructors nationwide and they each have their own little community. I thought, let's be mobilized. I love you keep saying that. You've said that word a few times, mobilize. I thought, yeah, we're not just going to gather here and move our bodies a couple times a week. We're also going to find places to pour out into our communities. So we had a local Dream Center here. I mean, it's just so funny how sometimes it's so hard to find a place to serve. I mean, it's kind of weird. And I mean, I know our local church will always take you, but we had people that were going different places. I was trying to find, you know, different churches, and we were trying to find one place. So the Dream Center, I just love how holistic they are. At that time when we were working with them, they were all about bringing the foster care, kids that have timed out of the foster care system. What do you do with them? A lot of them, you know, they hit the road with a plastic bag of goods, a grocery bag, and are said, we'll see you later. These are 18-year-old kids set loose on a street without a mother, a father, you know, like it's do or die in some cases. And so the Dream Center at that time was taking them in and giving them a place to be discipled and still have a home and have food and learn and grow, not just be out on the streets. So we got involved with the Dream Center at that time. It's just so, again, I love Tommy Barnett and how holistic he is, the vision of the church. It's not just talking about what we're to be doing, but they actually are out there being the hands and feet. That just makes me excited.
Wow, and I love that you're a part of that. Okay, this seems like a hard turn, but because I feel like it's important. But define gluttony and talk about its impact, if you would.
Okay. You know, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that people know right now that there is you can sign up to be a part of speaking of mobilizing, our Faith and Fitness Challenge. For any donation amount, people can get in. You can go to the website at revelationwellness.org/events, and you'll see it's called The Journey. We're basically journeying through this book. But it will address the very things you're talking about with how do I recognize gluttony. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. He's actually talking back to the Corinthians who have literally lived a lifestyle of everything's permissible. Hey, I'm free in Christ. Like we said, freedom to just do whatever I want. And he's telling them, yeah, everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. So when you're trying to recognize gluttony in our life, it is putting our finger on the thing that we run to for comfort or for control, which is really filling that void of the place where only God can fill. Gluttony is a worship issue. Gluttony is if I could just fill this ache a little bit more, if I can, you know, hit this pleasure high a little bit more, then it's worth it. And we know that food has a response in our brain. It sends off the dopamine, which is equal to the same drug, the same hormone that gets released if you were to smoke, have cocaine or any type of drug. Dopamine gets released in us. So we do that. We can do that. Anything can become gluttonous for us. Shopping, eating, drinking. And wherever that's happening, we know that we have something mastering us. So that's really what the book is for. All of our this is all a worship issue. And everything we do at Revelation Wellness and our challenges or events are about the freedom to worship Creator God and not creation that tends to master us.
I love that. You said it's a worship issue. It sure is. Okay, say a word, if you would, about fasting and the benefits there.
Yeah, well, we talk about that. It's definitely something you need time to talk about, because fasting is a word people, you feel yourself recoil. Hey, mm-hmm. I don't even like to fast, Susie. I'm like, really? But I know the benefits of fasting, especially if I don't want to fast, if I'm like really, I don't want to give it up, I don't want to say no, it's probably the time I really need to. Fasting when it comes to food is a touchy subject, because some people have restricted for so much of their life. I'm not just talking to the person who's overweight and turns to food for comfort. We're also talking to the people who look at food to control, you know, like it's, again, they either obsess or neglect. And this place of fasting can kind of be a blurry place, because if you've ever had an eating disorder of any kind, it might not feel well for you to do. And that's why in the book I kind of walk people through the process of it, what to choose, how to kind of pace through it so that it stays healthy and free for you. But here's the truth. It's not going to feel good, because anytime we give up something that we would rather be doing, we're going to feel that living sacrifice place, that Romans 12:1, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. A living sacrifice literally means you are the living dying in everything. Mm-hmm. There's a daily death to myself, and if something is mastering me, the only way out of it, especially where food goes and obsessive compulsive eating with food, you have to break up with it. You can't just slowly back out of it a little bit. If it's so compulsive, I mean, there's just a moment, it's that hitting rock bottom, and it's no more. I'm drying up. I'm going to go through withdrawals. I'm going to feel terrible for a few days, but God is my strength and my shield. It's the place where you say, God, I'm going to need you more than anything else. I want to hear from you more than anything else. I seek you in my poverty. Loosen these chains of restriction and control.
And it happens.
So fasting is a discipline, which is so holy.
Mm, yeah, indeed. I was just going to say, there is such a spiritual component to this as you engage with God. I mean, remember one time just being so bullied by my fears that I just had been done with it. And I thought, I'm fasting dinners. I'll have a small cup of soup or something for dinner, because I tend to have low blood sugar, but that's it. And I'm going to press in. And I'm telling you, the things God downloaded in that time, the revelation of how that enemy was lying to me, there are so many benefits. And as you said, we could use more time. I hope you'll come back, Alisa, because I feel like we're just scratching the surface on.
I do, yeah. Too, Susie. Yes.
Please do that. We'll have Aaron send you some dates so we can get you back, because there's so much here to talk about. But as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you pray for that person. We've received lots of emails during this hour of people just who feel so down on themselves because of the state of their health. Wondering if you pray for that person listening today.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for Susie, this show, God. And like as she said, that we live in a time, God, that we can still say, this is our God. This is Yahweh, the one true God. Listen, O Israel, our God is one. And so, Lord, we thank you that heart, soul, mind, and strength is one and integrated in you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the hearts that have been stirred in this. I just sense there's people that are crying, God. They feel desperate and they feel disgusted, Lord. I pray you would meet them right there, right now, Lord, that you'd lift their chin, that you would speak their name, because when you hear their name, your heart leaps, Lord, and that they would begin a walk with you, a journey, mobilize, Lord, that they'd get up off the mat and walk, because you offer wellness, Lord. Wherever you are is wellness. So, Lord, I just pray for a special grace, a special favor for people, Lord, for such a time as this, that this is the time that you are preparing the way for wellness for your people. Thank you, God, that you care about us from soul to skin. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Alisa, I just love you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Susie, so much. You have a great day.
And you as well. Title of her book, again, is The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. Remember, I would love to get your name in on the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And please remember that mailing address.
Where this hurt, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where this fear deep inside, I won't run. You.
Wow, what a great show today. So glad you tuned in. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.